It's the big interview.
All right, boys, prepare to be dazzled.
Thinking big, living big, talking big with market strategists, money managers, economists, authors, and more.
This is big news. What's going on here? This is big news. We need coverage of this.
Long chats with big brains, meant to give you a better view of the big picture as money life goes literally.
Yes, we are. And today we're talking with Patrick O'Hare, the chief market analyst at Briefing.com. That makes it easy if you want to get more information. The website is Briefing.com, on Twitter at Briefing.com. Patrick O'Hare, welcome back to Money Life.
Hi, Chuck. It's my pleasure to be back with you.
And my pleasure to be chatting with you because I always like getting your perspective. And yeah, we've got a market right now that is enough to drive people to distraction. I mean, there are plenty of things out there that you could harp on if you want to be negative. And Lord knows there is a whole segment of doomsayers out there saying bad things are going to happen. But yet the market keeps rolling along. I don't know that it's a bull market per se, more that it's kind of like a sloth market. It's not quite, it's moving so slowly forward at this point with so little volatility that nobody really feels great about it, but it keeps going forward. How do you feel about it right now?
Well, you're right, Chuck. I mean, it is moving slowly forward at this juncture because I think that that's a reflection of the market's awareness that it's, you know, trading at a fairly full valuation. And it's gotten there based in large part on the persistence of low interest rates, as well as some pretty good earnings growth. And now the market is having to sort of rethink that dynamic in terms of, you know, where interest rates are going from here. It seems as if the path of least resistance would be up, not down at these really low levels, and starting to see a little bit of the earnings growth momentum that availed itself in the first and second quarters slowing just a bit here. And then, of course, you can throw in all of the political drama that we see day to day, and the added element of uncertainty that surrounds what's happening in Washington, D.C., you know, on the home front, and certainly what's happening internationally with respect to our confrontation with North Korea. So the market's kind of at a crossroads here, and it's waiting for that one element that has seemed to have been an underpinning factor throughout here, and that's this issue of tax reform and whether it will come to fruition. So in a bit of a holding pattern here through the summer months, but at the end of the day, it has maintained those gains for the most part that it registered early in the year. You know, we're up 10% on the S&P 500, and we are most certainly in a bull market.
Yes, and we are also moving into the time of year that tests all of those things. I mean, I don't know that you can always say, oh, calendar effects always work, because Lord knows if I believed in every calendar effect, then I'd have to assume that we're going to see a downturn just because this is a year ending in seven. And I'm not buying that, but we have talked about it with guests on the show. But we are also getting into the time that tries investors' souls at this point in the year. Are you looking at it going, we can make it through September and October without some sort of a correction?
Well, I think it might depend in large part on what happens in Congress, because clearly that's front and center now with the dealings as they relate to trying to get some type of budget resolution as well as some sort of agreement on a debt limit increase. And the market has kind of seesawed a bit in terms of its sentiment on that matter. You know, it's had a good showing of late based on this notion that the federal aid Texas is going to need to deal with the aftermath of Hurricane Harvey would lead to somewhat of a kumbaya moment in Congress where everyone would agree to just get these things done and avoid a government shutdown and any type of threat potentially that, you know, our debts are not going to get paid. And then, you know, you have some recent rumblings that suggest maybe that kumbaya moment isn't going to come to fruition. And so it has slowed the market's recovery momentum here. And I think everyone is really waiting to see just what unfolds there in Congress, and that will be a dictating force here through the month of September as to whether the market enters into more of a, you know, of a defensive phase or if it can continue to just consolidate here, if not move higher.
You talk about wild cards, and of course the biggest wild card is presumably North Korea, although it may be our own president here. How big of a wild card is it in terms of Congress? Because what seems to be holding the market aloft to some extent is not necessarily hope that we're going to see the campaign promises go through, but at least that we'll see some sort of corporate tax reform or tax reform in general. How big a wild card is that? Because Congress hasn't been able to move forward on anything, let alone anything as complicated as tax reform.
Well, I think what you just said is probably what makes it less of a wild card, only from the standpoint that the market doesn't expect very much out of Congress, really. So the fact that it, you know, if you look at just what happened with trying to repeal the Affordable Care Act, obviously didn't happen, and you still had the market trading at record highs. You know, you have a market here a little bit skeptical as to whether Congress can actually get tax reform done, and I think that that has slowed some of the market's momentum. But say Congress doesn't get tax reform done, you still have a market that is staring at low interest rates and earnings growth that might be slowing a bit, but it's still pretty solid. And so it has some fundamental focal points to, I think, overcome whatever initial disappointment there might be that tax reform did not come to fruition. You know, the upside for the market here would be if Congress did, in fact, surprise everyone by reaching some sort of, well, ideally a bipartisan agreement on a tax reform plan. But if not, Congress getting through some type of tax reform measure that's going to lead to lower corporate tax rates and lower individual tax rates that will help drive increased disposable income that leads to greater levels of consumer spending and higher GDP growth. So, you know, so from my vantage point, I don't think Congress is as much of a wild card per se in terms of it not being able to get things done, whereas it could be a surprise card in a positive way if Congress does get something done.
Wow, wouldn't that be nice?
Yes, it would.
You talked about how strong things have been domestically and how they've held up. At the same time, going forward, how much stronger are the prospects for international stocks? Because I think that the consensus is that, yes, the domestic market's going to keep on rolling, but it's going to be in that sloth mode I was talking about. And that's not necessarily the case with certain foreign markets.
Well, I think a lot is going to ultimately still hinge on what happens with the U.S. economy. It's the world's largest economy. You know, we are seeing signs of improvement, certainly in the Eurozone, and even in Japan, for that matter, with growth picking up a little bit. But the knock in terms of the recovery you're seeing unfold in the Eurozone at the moment is the fact that some of the domestic difficulties we're having here, politically speaking, have weighed on the dollar and have helped the euro gain in strength. And that strong euro could potentially crimp the recovery and also tamp down inflation. So it remains to be seen, I think, in terms of just how much more recovery momentum there will be in the eurozone here, knowing that that stronger euro is going to act as a headwind in the near term. But in the end, you want the world's largest economy to be functioning well and to be growing well. And if the United States is doing well, the rest of the world is going to do well. And that's ultimately going to benefit the eurozone as a whole, as well as other economies throughout Asia. So yes, there probably is still some opportunity there on the international markets, which have been attractive to a lot of investors this year, considering the fact that the U.S. market has done so well and exhibited relative strength over those markets for a long period of time. So you've got a little bit of a asset allocation trade unfolding. So that could continue to happen, provided that the eurozone recovery momentum stays intact and it's getting that added push from a nice recovery momentum in the United States.
That being the case, how would you tell people to either stay with or alter their asset allocations? I mean, is this a case where you start to tilt a little bit, or is this a case where you start to take profits a little bit and gird for the possibility that something bad happens? Or is this a case where you go, no, you know, maybe rebalance, but stick with the plan. There's no reason to mess up anything that's been working.
Right. Well, the market is, the S&P 500 is trading at a full valuation. And now it's been able to maintain this bullish posture it's shown because interest rates have stayed low. You know, what I said a little bit earlier about the fact that the path of least resistance for interest rates seems to be higher, not lower at these levels. The pace at which those interest rates change will have some effect certainly on valuations and the stock market's performance. I think now is probably a prudent time to look at your portfolio and look at those groups, those sectors, those individual stocks that have done extremely well, and perhaps take some money off the table and reallocate to areas that maybe have not done as well if you have that long-term perspective. I think if you have a more near-term perspective, probably get a little bit more defensive in the positioning here, because there's certainly some boiling pots of uncertainty right now that run the risk of boiling over here. And if that's the case, then you could probably see a more sharp-minded correction here in the near term. But by and large, you know, as long as interest rates stay low, all right, and I think, you know, the bogey for the market would probably be a 10-year yield at 3% plus. But if we're under that, I think the stock market continues to hang in there and allows for these rotational trades that have continued to support the market in these moments of volatility, you know, rare that they have been. And you can hang in there as an investor.
Well, that is good news for investors everywhere. And I really like that sort of even-handed, data-driven approach. That's one of the reasons why I really love chatting with you, Pat. Thanks so much for joining me on the show.
Thank you, Chuck.
Patrick O'Hare, everybody. He is the chief market analyst at Briefing.com. If you've never been, what are you waiting for? It's Briefing.com. Great information there from Patrick and a number of other analysts that they've got, etc. They're on Twitter at Briefing.com. All right, we just hit the halfway pole on the Thursday, September 7th edition of Money Life. But halfway means it's almost like we just got started. There's a lot more to come, including a little bit later, Matt King from King Wealth Advisors in for the market call. So stay tuned. We're living the money life.